Now on Talking Horses Insider Insights.
It's fantastic to have Melbourne-based bloodstock agent Seamus Mills joining us now as a regular on Talking Horses. Good morning, Seamus.
Morning, Joe.
There's been plenty happening in the bloodstock world right across the industry this week, and we'll start off by talking about the Godolphin outbidding at Coolmore on the $4.1 million Curlin colt at the Keeneland September sale. Unbelievable result.
Yeah, huge result, and not to be downplayed, I'd say, for Australian interests. Obviously, with that colt being out of Australian bred mare, Kiwi raced bounding, a daughter of Lonro, and which is, as I say, a significant result for Australian bloodstock.
Yeah, it was. Did you see the imagery of the horse? So what were your thoughts on him as a type?
Well, I mean, the image-wise, he looked a beautiful son of Curlin, who really is the hottest sire in the US at the moment. And it would not be surprising at all if he was if he was pretty special. I would say that bounding would be certainly up there in the top, you know, three or five mares that I've ever seen in my life. She's as good a model as ever produced, I would suggest. So she obviously has thrown something that perhaps got that bone and substance that that perhaps some of those US horses can sometimes lack.
Yeah, and as you say, it's a terrific result for the profile of Australasian racing, being from the New Zealand champion sprinting mare Bounding, as you say, a good type herself. What do you think that does in the broader eyes of people in the bloodstock world for the profile of the industry here?
Well, I think the American market has grown increasingly important for Australia. I think that there's a lot of Americans now. Obviously, we're seeing not an influx as yet, but we've certainly seen an increased presence at our sales, both at yearling and mare sales. One of the best up there, John Secure of Hillendale Farms, came down a couple of years ago and secured two mares from our famous Redoute Choice family, and has had a lot of success with the two mares that he bought so far, with selling progeny out of those two. And now this mare, obviously, not topping the sale, but second top lot, and you know, that'll shed a lot of light on the Australian market. And I do think we'll see an increased presence from the Americans. So I think it's a significant result.
Mm. And what have been some of the other notable outcomes at Keeneland that have caught your attention, Seamus?
Well, look, obviously the $8.2 million mare is, a filly, I should say, is, well, significant. It's the highest price filly ever sold at Keeneland. And just looking at records, depends on how you do the conversion rate. The second highest price filly sold anywhere in the world, anywhere. You know, obviously that's a significant sale. I don't think you get much better as far as bloodstock goes than an American fair. The top stallions in America, a half to Mendelssohn, has obviously just gone to stud down here, or gone to stud for Coolmore in both hemispheres, and the half to Beholder, who 11-time Group 1 winning filly. So she was a rare offering. And it's also pretty rare to see Coolmore and Darley outbid with Randy Pope's Whisper Hill Farm securing that filly, $8.2 million. Sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money, but I actually think it's a pretty astute purchase. She'll be worth a lot of money for the rest of her life, and unlike colts, she can't be gelded, so she can be a long-term proposition. Mandy Pope's no stranger to those sort of figures. She bought both Harbour de Grace and Songbird when they retired. I think Songbird might have been $10 million and Harbour de Grace $9.5 million. So Mandy has got a bit of steel when it comes to these sort of purchases, and to fend off, I believe, Darley and Coolmore, credit to her.
Yeah, And on the local sales front, Seamus, the Inglis Ready to Race sale is coming up at the end of October, an interesting concept. And the Breeze Ups were staged at Cranbourne this week.
Yeah, on a soft five, I believe, which I think is fine, not getting sort of, you know, too wet, which these sometimes these Breeze Ups can be. And from a buyer's point of view, it's always a little tricky if you go to the sales and some of the Breeze Ups have been held on good tracks and others a bit softer. Certainly in the past when they've had horses come from New Zealand, some of the Breeze Ups are held on, you know, close on heavy 10. So I think soft five was pretty fair for all participants. And I think there was some nice horses trial down there. I've been able to see a few of the videos so far, looked through a little bit through the catalogue, just under 200 lots this year. So it is a concept that whilst it hasn't grown, I think it holds a little bit of a niche market, and obviously an overseas market predominantly. But it looks an interesting catalogue, and as I said, I thought there were some good breezes.
And are there some quality entries in the catalogue?
Yeah, look, there is a few. You know, they've got Nine Invincible, Ripper Tycoon, Dundeal, Medaglia, More Than Ready. So there's certainly some good stallions represented. Dam side of things, I suppose the hot would have to be the Half to Your Deal, who's champion two-year-old last season in New Zealand. But yeah, there's some other nice offerings, and as I say, it being a predominantly sort of overseas market, I think the way these horses breeze and not necessarily their times, but their action and how they look goes a long way to securing the better prices.
And the Inglis Digital sale that's been taking place, interesting some of the outcomes there, Seamus. Horses getting good money. That whole landscape is starting to change, isn't it?
Massively important, if you ask me, to the overall sales spectrum. I think it's fantastic for a few reasons. I am a big believer that that a lot of horses don't need to leave the paddock to go to the sales and so on at a price point that means that, you know, that they're you'd like to see them find new homes, and I think that the digital sales does that really, really well. Obviously, if you sell, away you go. If they don't, the horse will remain where they are. I'm a big user, believer. I search through all the catalogues. Certainly a market with a few different operators that are come into it, but the Inglis sale in particular obviously has grown enormously. I mean, they had too many lots for almost to hold it as a one session sale, so they're now doing two a month. And I'm a huge believer. I think it's a growth market, and I think it's a really good way to sell a horse.
Yeah. I mean, there are those that are speculative about the fact that you can't physically see the animal. What are your thoughts around that?
Oh, look, I've bought from these sales. Admittingly, I've bought from the top end of them. But I do go and look at the horses, or arrange to go and look at the horses, or arrange photos and videos that I'm feel comfortable with. I think it is a job that does require a little bit of work, a little bit of homework. But I think the catalogue's come out in enough time for you to be able to do that homework. And obviously it depends a little bit on price point. There'd be a price point at which I probably wouldn't get on a plane. But if I'm going to spend good money on one, part of the job. There's certainly enough agents and farms and so on around the country that can probably assist you if you do need more information than what's online. So, look, I think it's just a matter of doing your homework.
And the notable outcome from the recent Inglis Digital sale was Dagny, the multiple city-winning daughter of Darcy Brahma, topping that sale, Seamus, selling to Kitchwin Hills for $140,000.
Yeah, it looked pretty reasonable sort of investment. I think that's about her mark as far as price goes. She is a beautiful-looking mare. She's a very good sort herself. So, once again, as I guess those who did their homework would know that. Sold to Kitchwin Hills, who have had a bit to do with the mare, and obviously would know how good a sort she is. So I think that's about her mark, and probably another example whereby if you do put a quality horse on there now, I think you get around your watermark.
And another major stud farm swept up a horse through that sale too, Seamus. The second top lot was Meraki Miss by I Am Invincible, a half-sister to the recent Group 1 Winx Stakes winner, Sama Doubt. Now, Arrowfield purchased her she was offered by Derby Racing for $110,000.
Yeah, look, she is one that I did actually go and inspect. She was up at a spelling farm near Scone, and once again, a really, really good type. So I'm sure Arrowfield, being just down the road, also did their homework on her. He didn't have that sort of money for her, but I could certainly see why she would make that sort of money. With a current horse up and firing, I think you always attract a fair bit of interest.
Yeah. So these sales now, Seamus, take place twice a month.
Yeah, so they started at 5 p.m. and they had too many lots. They had people staying up to midnight bidding, so they had too many lots to sort of host it as a one evening session. So it's now, they call it early September and late September, late October, early October each month. So, yeah, there'd be two sales a month now through Ingus. And the offerings are increased in number. I think they've increased in quality. So, yeah, I know speaking to the Ingus guys, it's a platform that's become very important for them.
Yeah. And, of course, it's foaling season, Seamus. Very exciting time for the breeding industry and ultimately the racing industry to see what they go on and do. But we've had some high-profile mares give birth over the past couple of weeks. Last weekend on the program, we spoke to Peter O'Brien at Sedgenhoe with Vegas Showgirl, the Dam of Winx, delivering a foal by the former champion Japanese side Deep Impact. And this week, Jamaica had her first foal, the Caulfield Cup winner. We spoke with Cole McKenna at the top of the program this morning. A foal by Impending.
Yeah, look, they are very high profile foals to be born. I personally think that Vegas Showgirl, you know, would be right up there with the most valuable foals born ever in Australia, probably the Southern Hemisphere. You know, obviously the Deep Impact passing and being a filly, you know, look, if someone asked me to do a valuation on that horse, you know, I would be saying it's 5 million plus. You know, obviously the Japanese are very strong in the bloodstock world throughout sales right through the world, and I think that filly would attract unbelievable international interest, but probably unlike we've seen before in this country. So I think Pete has a extremely valuable filly getting around the paddock up there. I'm sure he's got a full of cotton wool. And as for Jamaica, yeah, look, obviously Rick Jamieson, well-known breeder, very good at what he does, and Impending was probably considered an interesting first choice for her first foal. He's a beautiful looking animal, Impending, and really well. I've had a look at the pedigree, and in my humble opinion, and on type as well, I think it's a great match. So we know Rick's capable of doing the job, and Jamaica's first foal, I'm sure, will be another one that's pretty valuable.
And they'll send her to Dundeal to be covered soon.
Yeah, which is, I mean, look, he's doing a fantastic job, Dundeal. I think high quality animals, and you know, I guess in a marketplace where people are struggling, perhaps to breed, sell stock that's going to get over a little bit of a trip. Obviously, there's a real discussion goes around the bloodstock world this time of year as to whether we're doing enough to breed a classic sale type horse, sorry, a classic type horse, potentially a cups horse, these sort of things. Obviously, there's a lot of discussion in that space around when the Cup Carnival comes each year, and I guess Dunville Jamaica, maybe he'll breed a future Cup winner.
Seamus, great to have you join the conversation on Talking Horses. We look forward to having you back again next week.
Anytime, Joe. Appreciate it.